So it's very important to understand that, you know, we have businesses, we have deals, but the things that drive them are the people who are their own complex systems. So if you can understand the systems of people and how to engage with them, interact with them successfully, and marry that up with also doing business and marketing, it creates a very powerful opportunity to accelerate success.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust also that you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Robin Bennett, the Technology Queen, and with Jules Brooke of Handle Your Own PR. Today is a very special milestone episode. It's number 200. Now, when I started this podcast, it was hard to imagine getting to 100 episodes, let alone 200, yet here we are, and rest assured, I'm going to keep going for many more. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest for this milestone episode, Neil Sperling. Now, other people have described Neil as a world-class connector and a world-class problem solver. He's the founder and the CEO of a global strategic advisory service who has been privileged to connect with the world's most recognized authors, entrepreneurs, corporate leaders, political leaders, nonprofits, and many others. He provides innovative strategies and solutions to help a wide variety of people to hyper-accelerate their growth and the results they would like to achieve for both themselves and their organizations. Now, I suggest you watch Neil's Vancouver talk on YouTube. That's linked in the show notes below, and also his interview with Nick Coe, which I've also linked. It'll give you a really good background about Neil, as today I jump right in and explore with him his strategies and innovative approaches to connecting people, systems, and to achieving outstanding results. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Go and check it out. It's free to join and it is exceptionally useful. So just log in to get your resources once you've joined. In our discussion today, Neil talked to me about building relationship capital and remembering that every interaction is a human-to-human interaction, subject dear to my heart, particularly in these times of marketing automation. He talked about removing judgment and letting go of our ego and our agendas to become more innovative. And he was very strong with the message of beginning with the end in mind and focusing on your goals to keep motivation and momentum high. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and for episode 200, get the buzz from Neil Sperling. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited today because this is episode 200, a really big milestone. Now, a little while ago, I was wondering what should I do for episode 200 because it is a milestone and I wanted to do something special. And then I met a chap called Neil Sperling. Now, Neil is based in San Diego, USA. He's known as the world-class connector and a world-class problem solver. He's a systems thinker that develops far more powerful brands, or he helps businesses develop far more powerful brands, more innovative and successful outcomes. He's into marketing, licensing, promotional systems, strategies, and delivers solutions that are innovative and achieve far more effective and measurable results. Neil and I had a conversation a little while ago, and I thought, wow, I've just got to have Neil on the podcast, and what a great guest Neil would be for episode 200. So, Neil, welcome to the podcast. It's a great privilege to have you here today in this episode 200 as my guest.
Jürgen, the privilege is all mine, and the fact that this is episode 300, I know, makes it very special and meaningful for me. Thank you for having me.
It's actually episode 200, but that's fine. Jamie Greenberg, he was our guest on episode 117 of the Innova Buzz podcast. So Jamie introduced us and suggested that you'd be a good guest. So big hello to Jamie. I'm sure he's listening to this, and he, along with you, our listener, will get a lot of value out of Neil's insights today. So as I said, Neil has a really fascinating background, a systems thinker. He's known as a world-class connector. Now, there is a video on YouTube. It's called Vancouver Talk. We will have a link in the show notes to that, that kind of really showcases Neil at his very best, where he gives a talk to an audience and talks about all his experience. And you can also read a lot about Neil's background. It's a fascinating background. I don't want to delve into that today, because what I'd like to do is really get into the nitty-gritty of Neil's experience and start to pick his brain on various things. So is that okay with you, Neil?
Oh, I'd be delighted. Thank you.
All right. So now what I really like about your systems thinking approach is you're also such a strong people person, and you merge that systems thinking and people skills together really well. I don't know anybody else that can do it as well as I've observed you doing that. So you also told me in our previous conversation that everything is a system. So describe that a little bit to me some more as to how you approach everything as a system and how you see those connections.
Well, okay. I guess maybe I might start in college. I had a science fiction class, and we had an interesting assignment. The science fiction professor said, I want you to invent or create your own world and describe it to me. And I took him literally because he was thinking about a world as most people would normally define it. But I thought the world is comprised of any world's comprised of basically even there are systems that are comprised of processes, and beneath the processes are elements. Beneath the elements, basically, is math. Math defines everything, and it's a wonderful system to describe things. And so I thought, maybe there's a system of math that I could use to describe the universe in totality. And wow, that's a big objective. But I basically created a system that I wanted to describe the universe from the point of the Big Bang and reverse engineering it. And so I basically looked at it in reverse engineering. If you had a system that started with the answer and worked its way back to the question, which is what we're all trying to do in our lives and our businesses and our marketing systems and all of our things that we're confronting. How do I get to the center point? How do I get to the bullseye? So I actually invented my own mathematical system. I had the hubris to do that, or at least attempt to do that, which starts with the answer and works its way back to the question. And basically, it's comprised of value sets that have sub-value sets and variables and, you know, secondary variables and tertiary variables, without getting into a lot of detail, essentially giving weighted values to different descriptive elements. And so I started to get into that kind of a mindset, as crazy and interesting as that may sound. And it helped clarify things for me, because I ultimately, as you people probably see in that video on YouTube, and I have several there, but if you correctly just reference my name, which is NEALSPERLING in the search box, you'll probably find it. It's the Vancouver Talk, which was a milestone for me, because it basically goes into systems thinking like that. And so if you get into this mindset of breaking everything down, you see that everything is a system. And even ostensibly unquantifiable things like love, like trust. And that was actually what landed me on stage. Is there a system where you could define and establish trust and trustworthiness in other people with a high level of accuracy? And as you saw in that talk, I identified that and I simplified it, because it's really important to reduce things to the simplest level of complexity. So literally any abstraction, anything that you look at, the weather, the human body, they're all comprised of systems. And if you start getting in that framework, that mindset, it can really open up tremendous opportunities of how to look at the world with greater clarity.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that you kind of take the end result, start with the end in mind, and then work backwards and deconstruct
it. Exactly. I have a very wealthy businessman. He's actually a self-made billionaire who brought me down here to San Diego. He's a friend. I've watched him build his empire. And he had 113 principles that he's taught me. But one of them, some of them are quite obvious and others are subtle. But he taught me to look at things and reverse engineer and then reduce them to the simplest level of complexity. And so if you start with your goal, whatever that is, whether to have a more loving, fulfilling relationship, to have a better understanding of who's trustworthy or not, these abstractions, when you frame it in this kind of a thinking pattern and use these principles, you get a lot of traction and a lot of clarity. And as you know, Buckminster Fuller said that clarity is power.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, my business coach works on different strategies all the time and looking at the unconscious as to how we run strategies. I mean, you mentioned love and we all run a love strategy, but we're not conscious of what the steps of that strategy are. We all run a connection strategy with people, friendship strategy, whatever that might be. What fascinates me is how you can recognize that. But as I said at the start of this particular topic, you're also very much a people person. So I know, you know, you think of relationship thinking as well as the transactional. So for me, the transactional sounds like, you know, this is the system, this is the structure, these are the steps that are involved in running the system. So tell us a little bit about how you merge those two.
Right. Well, I as I've said in other podcasts and interviews, the biggest influence was my mom. What was interesting to me is that I noticed something about her that was very unique. She never had an enemy. And it was very fascinating to me why that was. And what I learned about her was that she never judged anybody. She didn't believe she had the right to do that, but she didn't want to understand things. And that's very much a part of what I've taken from her now that she's passed on. I want to understand things. I want to understand everything. But most importantly, to understand people, it's important to understand, as she did, she had a certain wisdom about her. And her system of understanding people was to realize that she didn't know a lot and she shouldn't judge people by their superficial attitudes or interests. There are a lot of difficult people in the world, and she just assumed something that was really intuitive and accurate. They're probably difficult because they're wounded and they're acting out on things where they were wounded somewhere far back in their childhood or in growing up. And so she really wanted to get to know people and understand them in a way where she inspired trust and she was authentic and people would open up to her. And through that, she would have an understanding. So I have a thirst for understanding both systems that I've just described and people as well, and how I can genuinely want to, how I can genuinely help them. And her approach was essentially not to also give people what they want, but to give them what they needed, authentically needed. And so she would, from the get-go, practice a form of tough love to offer them tough truth. And they appreciated that and that earnestness, and they would open up to her. And so she established a very quick rapport and engagement with people. And that's kind of what I practice. So it's very important to understand that, you know, we have businesses, we have deals, but the things that drive them are the people who are their own complex systems. So if you can understand the systems of people and how to engage with them, interact with them successfully, and marry that up with also doing business and marketing, it creates a very powerful opportunity to accelerate success.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say that, you know, whilst, as you say, we're in business and we do business transactions, it's a person dealing with another person that really drives the whole thing. And it sounds to me like your mother was quite an amazing lady and had this almost unconscious natural ability to connect with people and to connect with them without making judgment and hold the space for them and do, provide what they actually needed, you said. So just, is that something that you've got kind of naturally as a talent?
You know, I haven't really reflected back on it that much, but as I look at it, I think I have tremendous empathy for people because she did and she taught me that. I think by having empathy, it allows you a greater awareness and a greater insight. And again, understanding things and having awareness is what my driving ambitions are. But to do that in a way where it puts good into the world and can become a force multiplier, that could almost lead into probably your additional questions of how I got into all this. Because the last thing the world I ever saw was myself as a coach or an advisor. I'd like to, again, I've shared it in other locations, but I think I've made every mistake in the book twice, and I've been a misfit for a lot, large part of my life, because, you know, I've had this unique way of looking at the world, and so I haven't really necessarily fit in. There's not really anything in the labor code or in school when you're growing up that teaches you this is a job description. And so, you know, having the ability to think a lot about problems and insights and coming to solutions to assist people is part and parcel with just about every part of business. But because I've been able to do it as a generalist and quickly drill into becoming a specialist and hyper-accelerate that ability to do that with a few chosen questions that I've learned in my own system of assessing things, it's pretty unique. But I really enjoy the process.
Okay. So what is it you do today then as a business to apply these skills that you have?
What I do today in terms of what my process is?
Yeah, well, what's the service you provide to people and to businesses, and what changes for them as a result?
Right, right. So essentially, it took me a long time to actually clarify that. You know, there's that old saying about how sometimes you can be very good with helping people solve your other their problems, but you're a little too close to your own. I've become known as a connector and a super connector because, as I've really thought about it, I'm able to, obviously on the surface, connect the dots. But more specifically, when I was in school, I tested off the charts and seeing how everything connects, which I think informs my ability to be so good at this particular area. So what I do, and I actually have to sequence it because I've learned no system can really operate independent of having a good sequence, and no sequence can operate at its best without having a good system. They interoperate. So my system and my sequence is to explain to people that the first thing I can do is help them connect the dots and their puzzle pieces in their business and their marketing or their personal lives and understand and get greater clarity about that and how to optimize that in the sequencing of what they do to get that clarity. So that's how I became known as the quote unquote world-class problem solver, which is, again, nothing I attributed to myself. This has been the feedback I've gotten from people. And then move it into the world-class connector brand, which Robert Allen was very kind to give me after sitting with me for 3 hours and identifying that beyond what it said on my business card, I have this unique skill set. So after I've helped people understand strategy and accelerating getting the results they want with their personal or their business challenges, I've been blessed with this ability to meet amazing people who have huge relationship capital and typically operate at a very high level that other people have difficulty getting to. And so, you know, as we move forward through that, I'm happy to, when they retain me as their consultant, to make introductions at the highest level and open doors that normally wouldn't be available to them. But not only that, seeing who they'd be the best fit with. And it's been an amazing journey. I could give you specific examples if you're interested.
Yeah, that'd be great. So give us a couple of examples, because I think, you know, in the previous discussion, that really highlighted for me what it is you actually do in a more concrete sense.
Right, sure. So beyond helping people get the clarity and solving their challenges and getting more successful results in their businesses, their personal lives, their systems, I've been blessed with this wealth of relationship capital at the highest levels. I've had people, for example, and it sometimes comes to me in waves. And frankly, this is kind of where the mystery of the universe steps in. If you're a religious person, I would say, you know, you could call it, if you're not, cosmic consciousness or God. But I've been very blessed to then see through my own relationship capital who to introduce people to. And I'm usually very correct in that intuition. I've introduced people not just to their potential marriage partners, but their soulmates. I've introduced people who've had stage 4 cancer and would come to me knowing of my reputation through the grapevine that I'm a connector and say, Neil, I've kind of run out of options. If you know of anybody who could help me, I have a stage 4, I have a rare cancer. And of course, I don't want to turn people down. I want to offer them hope. And I said, of course, I don't know anyone right now. But within 7 days, it would crop up that somebody right here in La Jolla, which is a hotbed of biomed, would come to me because of my connector reputation and say, Neil, I'm working on a stage 4 protocol for rare cancers in an immunotherapy area, and we'd like to know if you know of any candidates that would be applicable. This doesn't just happen to me infrequently. I've had it happen in many different vertical markets, if you want to call it that, hundreds of times. I was recently on a cruise ship, and I think I may have told you I was on a thought leader mastermind cruise, and somebody texted me they had a large quantity of gold that they were trying to find somebody to connect with and sell to. And her last text was one word, now. So I just turned to the people who are sitting with me and I said, does anybody here buy large quantities of gold? And the guy sitting next to me said, I do. How much is for sale? Where's it coming from? And so this is my life. I mean, apparently this is why I'm on the earth, to help people get connected. And I can share even more interesting stories, which maybe just one might be worthwhile. I was at one point asked to be involved with spearheading the National Space Society. They were putting on a major conference. And one of the most smartest people in the world was sitting there holding court about how he could create power plants the size of basketballs. And I was listening to this in fascination. And I said, after he got done and we were kidding around with each other about a few things, I said, you know, we have a dinner tonight. And there's a woman that I'm sure you know, Dr. Mae Jemison. She's the first African-American woman in space. And he said, yes, I've heard of her. I said, oh, you don't know her, because this is his industry. And he said, that's right. And I said, well, you know, I'd love to have you at the dinner. Are you coming? He said, well, no one invited me. And I said, well, that's amazing, because she's been in charge with what's called the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA, a government, U.S. government agency, with basically getting us to another solar system in our lifetime. 100 years, and putting another person on the planet in another solar system in 100 years. And he said, well, that's kind of crazy. I could do that in 25. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, those, you know, atomic power plants that are size of basketballs, you know, I have some applications I need to discuss with her. So here I was in the middle of this, and I thought, my God, if we could see, or someone could invest in results that could get us to another solar system in 25 years versus 100 years, it's a game changer. People would see the results of their investment. It changes everything. And so I was very happy to introduce them both. And I guess they've been talking about this since. So this is just typically my life.
Mm. Yeah, they're great examples. And what strikes me about those is there's a lot of self-awareness there, that you know that you can do this and you're always listening out for the opportunities, but also an awareness of what's happening around you. And I'm sure that that is critical to recognizing those opportunities to connect people. Now, one of the things you mentioned to me earlier also is that you kind of run this system that you have 5 questions you ask, and that they build kind of trigger points that sequence this system. You mentioned how important sequencing was. So can you describe those questions for us?
Yes, I actually can. It's so simple, though. If I give it out, it kind of dilutes my proprietary process. but I'm happy to share the general flavor of that. Yeah, I think a lot about things, and, you know, even E=MC². It's so simple. I talk about it in my talk. It's 4 simple characters describe an amazingly complex system, you know, which is relativity theory. And so with me, it's basically you identified one point already, which is not starting with where you are, but where you want to be, and then reverse engineering from there. And then I take people through a journey of looking all the different potential vehicles to get them there. And then, as I have already identified, and I gave you more aspects of this, it's then sequencing it and figuring out you know, which are the most optimal vehicles to get you there in phase development process. So it's breaking down the fuzzy, and with each of these steps getting clearer and clearer about the strategy. And then as you look at these different vehicles and you look at the phasing of that, you break those down into subcomponents that give you even greater clarity about where the things could fit, and come up with basically your strategic plan, being mindful that you also have to be flexible. It's the 80-20 rule at that point, which essentially is that, you know, it's kind of ubiquitous in nature, but to put 80% of your vehicles and your focus into this 20% of concentration, and allow still for some flexibility. So as things evolve, things beyond your control, environmental issues, changes in, if it's a personal aspect, changes in your personal dynamics, your marriage, if it's a business aspect, if it's changes in market forces, changes in the economy. So there's some flexibility to pivot, because as you know, 90% of all businesses fail in the first 5 years. And it's usually either undercapitalization, or what I found is people get too close to the situation, get too married to their objectives, and they lack the ability to receive coaching or be flexible in how to achieve their goals. So it's a combo pack of these different elements that I kind of stir up in my stew pot, and I think, again, keep people pointed toward progress.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite clear in terms of the overall steps. And I think one of the things that I really like about breaking this down into a system is that it then gives you the ability to test things, to measure things, see what's working, to then bring that adaptability or flexibility that you mentioned, and start to really accelerate your results, and also to build models and predict things going forward.
Right. And that's actually an area that I did test very high in, which was abstract reasoning and predictive modeling. So one of the things, to go back to an earlier point that you raised, where I think I'm unique, if not certainly separated from the pack, is that most people are able to see very clearly what's in front of them, and sort of somewhat clearly maybe what's 100 feet or 1,000 feet ahead of them. But when it gets to a mile out or over the horizon, you know, they generally, that's where it stops. But for me, for whatever reason, I'm always looking many steps down, for example, like just the chessboard, and what all the options are, and constantly trying to select the most optimal way out, and then reverse back, and then say, okay, I think I have a pretty clear direction here to help people. So maybe it's just that I've been blessed with both you know, nearsight or the kind of ability to see things near and far that gives me the clarity.
Mm. Yeah, your system reminds me a little bit of the five success principles as they're taught in NLP, I think, or at the periphery of NLP, which, you know, the first step is definitely begin with the end in mind, and then it talks about behavioral flexibility and being aware of what's happening. So knowing what's going on, testing what's going on, and bringing that flexibility in. But the one thing that I wasn't really clear on, and I know you've spoken about this at some point in the five success principle, it's taking massive action. And what you talk about in some of your interviews is a system to stop procrastinating. So talk to us a little bit about that, because I'm sure, I know I procrastinate from time to time, and I probably don't have a system that I'm aware of to stop that.
In terms of taking massive action?
Well, you know, I can take massive action, but then there's times where there are things that need to be done and I procrastinate over them, obviously.
Ah. Well, welcome to the club. I may sound like in certain areas, like I'm off the charts or pretty good at different things, but I have a lot of my own challenges. And frankly, the way I've designed these systems is simply because it helps to support me to overcome the many of the limitations I've had. In the video, for example, I talked about having a hearing deficiency. I've turned it into an asset. I often can't hear people well. And even on this interview, I apologize earlier, for example, in the milestone, I misheard you. It's been a challenge for me, but I've realized that in some cases where I'm unable to hear because I have a nerve deafness and it's incorruptible. I had lost my hearing completely at one point, recovered it to baseline, which is what I have now. But I've learned to turn my liabilities into my assets or my strengths. So I spend a lot more time in my head when I can't hear people in small talk sometimes. And so I've had more time to think about things. With recessive procrastination, it's pretty much realizing that if you're excited about the goals, there's no utopia and there's always a trade-off and a challenge. And so I've kind of disciplined myself to realize that if I want to get to the excitement, and they talk a lot about this, about delayed gratification, and particularly when you want to achieve millionaire status or beyond, other people are going out and being consumers and spending money and you've sacrificed. Well, that's the part of it. Having the discipline and consistency to do the things that aren't as fun is part of the sacrifice you make in this respect to achieve your goals. What I find is that you have to create balance in your life. So if you can't do it all, then schedule yourself over a few days, be realistic, make a checklist. I have a checklist every day. It's a little bit over what I know that I can accomplish. It's probably about 110% of what I can accomplish every day. But I challenge myself to see if I can meet that goal. And I'm not hard on myself if I miss it by 10% and I have to put something over onto the next day. But when I see and take pride in maybe achieving the 110%, or even if it's 95%, I realize that I look at that page that I've checked off all these boxes and things I needed to do with satisfaction. And I give myself credit for being human and not perfect. And so I've kind of organized myself in this discipline framework where I take more satisfaction in the things that I've accomplished because I know it's moving me toward my goal. And so that at least helps me a lot to avoid procrastination, knowing that I'm doing delayed gratification to get something that I really want to achieve.
Mm, yeah. And again, it's that beginning with the end in mind and then making sure you're always focused on that goal. Is this? So I have a question on, so I have a checklist also that I do. My problem is that I put down 120% sometimes, and then if I happen to achieve the 120%, then I think, well, I should be able to do better than that. So the next day will be 130%. I might only achieve 90.
I think there's another aspect to this. Your listeners and potentially you may find fascinating. I've looked a lot about like technology lately, and it's supposed to make our lives easier. in many respects, it's complicated things more. For example, I had trouble getting on this podcast early enough to respect your time, and I felt terrible about it. But it's because there's so many apps now to download and connect with people, and there's so much competition for this. It's made our lives more busy and challenging, and having to manage these things. I connected with somebody who's in Europe. And I thought he was fascinating because on his website, he mentioned that he was part of this club that he created. He had 300 billionaires in his network. I thought that was fascinating. And I wanted to reach out to him. So the long story short, the first challenge was when I wrote to him, he said, "Are you a robot?" True story. And I said, "No, I'm not a robot. I'm a human being. This is who I am." And so I didn't hear from him for a couple hours. He actually took the time to check me out on the web and went to that very video that you talked to your listeners about. And then I got another short email back. He said, two words in capital letters, "Great job." And then there's a link. And I thought, great job. Who is this? What's he talking about? Well, it was my video. He wanted to show me. He watched it. He said, "Where are you now?" And I said, "I'm here in San Diego." And then he calls me on Skype. He says, "I want to apologize." I said, "What?" He said, "I've spent so much time on email these days, I've forgotten about the human connection. And I feel badly about the fact that I didn't, you know, accept you at face value. But, you know, there's so many people and scam artists today who want to reach me." And I said, "Well, why do you spend all this time on email?" So we got into this discussion again about technology. It was supposed to be the great enabler for him using email. And I said, but you know, maybe you have some time management challenges and I'd be happy to help you. And I didn't even get into the reason why I was calling or to connect on a business level. My secret sauce, if anyone wants to steal this, is I generally want to help people and understand their challenges and make friends. My mom had a great saying, better to make a friend than an enemy. So my whole secret is I've now, I believe, made thousands of friends. And I don't ask for much, but when I do, people instantly respond because they know I don't really like to ask for much. And so in this case, I said, so how can I help? And he was telling me about how he's overwhelmed with emails. And I said, well, maybe you just need to take a break and organize your mornings, your evenings better, and take an hour or two where you know you're getting this done and let people know when you respond in the morning and the night, which frees you up during the day to get out and do the business and structure yourself. Maybe you just need more structure. And he said, maybe I do. So it led to a remarkable conversation where in 15 minutes, the speed of trust, he literally sent me links to his Dropbox of all the deals that he had. And it was astounding. I mean, he had diamond deals. He had art deals, great works of art, some that you would see in museums from some of the leading artists and all these people he'd connected with. And again, only after 15 minutes of, and not even having met me in person. And I took that as a very proud moment. Probably the even prouder was when I went back to the site, I realized something was interesting. I was looking through the videos of people he admired that he'd listened to. And I saw one, was an interview with Tony Robbins about how to make smart decisions in hiring people. And I saw another one, which was, I believe, Steve Jobs' commencement address at Stanford. And then I scrolled beneath that and I saw my video that he'd posted. Hmm. Not only that, he took a number of slides beneath that. I think I got more cyberspace on that. And I was astounded. I didn't actually say anything for over half an hour. I was just sitting there. It was amazing. But it's just really building those kinds of connections and also understanding that you can't use technology to the point where you lose sight of your humanity.
Yeah, that's such a great message, and I love the story. But you know, what you said there at the end is, I think, the most important thing to remember about technology. And I do a lot of work in marketing, and I keep reminding people that marketing is, it's got to be human. It's a human to human interaction. It's got to be personal, and technology can be an enabler. But when it gets to the point, and I was having a chat with somebody yesterday and I kind of had to bite my tongue a little bit. They said, oh, you could do it with a bot and, you know, use Facebook bots and so on. And I thought, well, yeah, now it's getting into the totally impersonal realm. But I procrastinated over having that conversation there because I didn't think it was going to add value to anybody. But the idea of using technology as an enabler to make it easier to connect with people, I think, is a really important message. All right. Well, this is absolutely fascinating, Neil. I could go on and talk for hours with you, but maybe we'll do another episode later on. What I'd like to ask you is how can people work with you and get the benefit of your insights and your systems thinking and, you know, that connection to the human and relationship capital that you mentioned? What are the ways that people can find out more on your website, or how can they get in touch and find out how you might be able to help them?
Well, thank you. That's very gracious. I think the great starting point would be just to go to my website, learn more about me. I'm very transparent. There's a few pages there that talk about what I do, how I do it, some past clients that shouldn't intimidate people. I say that because I've been very privileged to work with some amazing people, amazing technologies, high net worth people. But, you know, I'm always interested in helping whoever I can, provided, you know, they have a budget. And so I actually lay that out on one of my pages, the different ways, particularly in business and marketing, the stages I could work with people and how. And, you know, we can discuss it and I can see what your budget is. But traditionally, I'd like to get into coaching sessions. If people are lacking the discipline, the consistency, or dealing with issues of procrastination, I have systems for that. If they're finding that they're in business and they've gotten into bad business deals and they made misjudgments about people, as I said, I have my system for trust. if they simply need discipline, consistency, and good coaching and support to stay on track with things they already know, I can probably help with a system for that. And if they just need clarity and they're starting at ground zero, certainly I can help them as in the ways that I shared with you. But they can go to my website, which is worldclassconnections.com, worldclassconnections.com. And I'm happy to give them a half hour complimentary consultation, do a discovery call, and see where we can go from there.
Mm, that's wonderful. And I can attest to the fact that Neil is very generous with his advice. And so that half hour consultation is priceless, really. All right, Neil, I think it's time we moved on to the buzz. I've been doing the buzz round for 199 episodes. So here's episode 200. It's the innovation round designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I have five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that are going to inspire people to go out and do something awesome as a result today. So what do you think the number one thing is anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I've always believed that you have to go to a place of neutrality in your thinking, not assume that with all that you've learned throughout your life, you're probably going to be correct. My experience having studied great innovators is that they're always willing to, like, for example, Elon Musk, engineer from first principles. He didn't assume that because a rocket goes up, you have to jettison the pontoons into the ocean and forget about them. He wanted to figure out, is there a way that you can actually have a reusable rocket ship? And no one really in NASA had really given that much thought because they were consistently doing something the way they've always learned to do it. So I've always believed in divorcing my ego and agenda from my goals. And I always try to step outside myself, particularly when I'm consulting with people or wanting to connect more successfully, and stop thinking about my agenda, but tune into their agenda. So it's always that constantly stepping outside yourself and taking another point of view in the universe, which I guess if you looked at it from an Einsteinian point of view, would be it's all relative. Yeah. So you want to make sure that what your viewpoint is only part of a larger universe of relativistic approaches and positions, and just be totally open to a 360-degree, and if you even want to go there, a multiverse type of look at the world and the universe, so that you're fully aware of all the options available to you.
Mm, yeah, that's great advice. And getting over your ego and letting go of your agenda, that kind of makes it about the other person or the need or the question that you're trying to address or come up with a solution for.
Yes, indeed.
Mm. All right. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
I'm sorry?
What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
To develop new ideas. Well, I actually believe that there are no necessarily new ideas, but innovative ideas. So if you use the word innovation, you're innovating on previous ideas. So one of the things that's important to me is to get in this mindset of thinking that to do exhaustive research and to look at who's walked in your shoes. I honestly believe that there probably may not be, I won't say completely, because I'm always challenging myself, but may not be anything completely original at this point. Mm. When you look at the ways that people write great literature, for example, they've drilled it down to 36 original plot lines, not 37. So, yeah. You know, I like to go back and start from a foundation of what's already been done out there and look at what's worked, what hasn't worked, and then start to free associate and be creative, like, okay, how do I innovate, or how could I tweak this or improve this and fold it back into my goal or my agenda?
Hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. And it saves a lot of time as well, because some people, there's people like you mentioned, Elon Musk going back to first principles, but some people go right back to first principles and then end up reinventing the wheel. And then they get to the point of where they actually want to be, which is a new mode of transport that uses wheels. So that shortcuts it if you begin with what's already there.
Well, it's also, this is, Edison said, he stood on the shoulder of giants. He did that summary same thing. I mean, his approach was trial and error. There's other approaches I talk about in my talk to innovation. But the background is that, you know, although he tried 10,000 things, he first wanted to learn what had not worked and what hadn't worked. And then through that intuitive creative process, you know, build on that.
Hmm. All right. Is there a favorite resource you have that you use a lot?
The internet.
Yeah.
And I probably would like to be more precise, but, you know, it's the greatest invention since sliced bread in this century, because I can go anywhere and find anything pretty quickly. And the key is, of course, is keywords. One of the ways that I've trained my mind, which may be helpful to other people, particularly with connecting, is that when I'm talking to people and I'm earnestly interested in figuring out what their authentic needs are versus their wants, I'm an active listener and I scan conversations for keywords, much like people look for keywords in the search engine. It's just something that's like in my DNA. If I had to turn it off, I wouldn't even know where the off switch is. So it's true. And so when I associate and somebody says this or that, or there's a trigger mechanism, I say, stop. So, you know, that's the center point. And I would say, I think you would do well with this person, or this resource would be good for you, because I have this ability to connect the dots in my head. And so it's the same with this whole process. Whether it's people, conversations, or if I'm on the internet, I can see certain keywords leap out at me and I say, oh, that would fit and fold nicely into this area or that area.
Hmm. All right. So we talked a bit about procrastination earlier. This question is related to that. What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
In terms of procrastination, how to get on track?
Well, not necessarily in terms of procrastination, but just keeping on track. So, you know, you talked about having beginning with the end in mind and exploring options and then sequencing things. So how do you keep a client on track that they're doing the steps in the sequence and the plan that you've worked with them to develop?
Right. Okay. Well, I think the best thing is, and you've heard this probably from others, it's no real mystery, is to write things down. Hmm. When you see it on paper and in print, it actually activates certain areas of your brain that will light up. They've done studies because it makes it more concrete and more real, more tangible. And then it's all about really your relationship and your contract with yourself and your commitment to yourself. You know, are you fully committed to your success? Are you partially committed? If that's a challenge, then there's a system to go into that to understand, you know, what are the negative tapes or influences in your subconscious that are sabotaging your success? And are you in denial about them, or are you like realizing them, but only on an intellectual basis that doesn't inform your emotional other areas of your brain that activate your discipline and your consistency to get things done? Your brain can work as a wonderful connective mechanism, but it's comprised of subsets from your frontal lobes to your cerebellum to all these other areas. And unless you are really even understanding that and how they interact, if they're all humming at peak efficiency and interoperating, you have a brain that is serving you. And if they're different areas of your brain are in conflict with each other, you need to get them first organized and all playing on the same team. So, you know, provided you have that working for you, then you're more likely to be less in conflict with yourself and more able to execute and show up for yourself in the way that you truly would like.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot in that. I mean, there's almost a whole webinar, podcast in that whole topic, as how we sabotage our own efforts to achieve a goal, for example. And it's fascinating because my business coach says that we're actually all goal-achieving machines. It's just we kind of set ourselves goals that we think we need to achieve. We think somebody else expects us to achieve them, so it will be good to do, and so we're not fully committed to them. But if you take simple goals like getting up out of bed in the morning and brushing your teeth and having breakfast, so each of those is a little goal, and we do those without effort, without thought. So we're actually a goal-achieving machine. So it's great what you've said there, is just getting every part of our brain and our body aligned to and committed to achieving the goal is probably the key.
Absolutely. And I think another facet of that is, and I always look at laws of physics and other areas to inform my business judgment and my judgment with people. And so, as you know, objects in motion tend to stay in motion, and objects at rest tend to stay at rest. So as you just get in motion, the easiest way is to do the simplest things. When a rocket launches off the launch pad, the hardest part is the initial few steps, but then it gets into a groove, so to speak, and it fires itself, and eventually it accelerates as that engine continues to burn. So it's interesting. The hardest thrust is at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So if you get yourself out of bed, then you've done a wonderful thing to get your day in motion. And then as you take simple things and you break them down, it's like I've shared with people, you can literally accomplish whatever you want if you're realistic with yourself and don't set the bar too high. If you want to swim the English Channel, provided you've trained for it, you don't swim it with the idea you're going to do it all. You're going to break it down step by step. You're going to know when you're going to have certain energy levels to feed and form your ability to accomplish this and when you need to slow down and, you know, let your systems give them a little bit of a rest. And all that comes with proper coaching and understanding and science. But the point is, it's you break everything down into steps. Mm. And so when you do that, it doesn't seem as overwhelming and insurmountable.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And it reminds me of my children's late piano teacher, who was an amazing lady. And my children, when they were very young, were learning these very complicated piano concertos that went for, you know, 30, 40 minutes, and they would have them in their head and they'd be able to perform them at will. And I was always fascinated, and I said to her, you know, how do people learn this stuff? How do they? And she said, it's just like eating pizza, one little bit at a time.
Yeah. Right.
All right. What do you think is the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I'm sorry, again, only because I was straining on this particular earplug. What number one thing that people could do for?
To differentiate themselves.
Differentiate themselves. Well, so that's the fun thing. So I've always been a misfit. And so to package that up, though, in a way that serves me, I realized something profound that one of my business partners shared with me, which is called the Blue Ocean Strategy. You know, when I help people with systems that are familiar, like SEO or basic marketing, they try to clump me into, well, you know, if you're price sensitive, you're a little bit more expensive than the other person. They want to get me this competition with other people. And I share with them, because I'm an innovator and innovative thinker, I pioneered certain approaches to optimize, like, for example, I'll do search engine optimized press releases for clients, where I can guarantee that they'll get on ABC, NBC, CBS, and I do keyword research. And there's little things, like incremental things I combine in that to elevate their brand. I tell them not to expect sales, but right away you can, through this service that I offer, you can basically already be on different major news sites, and consequently you'd be newsworthy. And so it separates you from the pack. And as a result, if people are seeing that you were seen in or cited in Fox News, you know, International Business Times, which I can guarantee with the service that I work with, and you shape the story in a way that separates you further from your competition, all of a sudden you stand apart. The way I particularly like to share with people that I stand apart is that I swim in a blue ocean. It's the Blue Ocean Strategy. So if you're unique, people cannot cross-compare you and can't cross-compare your value. And all of us are unique. If you're having trouble competing in the market, it's because you haven't identified your soul core purpose of why you do and what you do to the degree that it separates you out as being unique. And by doing that, you will stand apart. We're all here on this earth, in my opinion, with unique gifts to practice in a way that will allow us to show up and improve ourselves and improve each other. That's my personal opinion, that if we do that, we do it well and often enough, we get to graduate. And we can even talk metaphysically about what that means, but I don't think it's appropriate perhaps for what you're looking to focus on here today. But I would just say that to really drill down what makes you unique in the world and fold that back into your business. And when you do that, I believe that's the ticket to not only prosperity, but self-actualization.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it comes back to what we talked about a little bit earlier today, is having the self-awareness. And even coming back to your answer to question one, getting, you know, putting your ego aside and stepping out of your own agenda to kind of reflect back on who you are and what purpose you have in life, and you know, what it is that makes you unique. So yeah, great advice.
I think it's aligning your passion and your purpose. And if you're not clear about that, it's because you've been too busy traveling at the speed of light, doing a lot of things that other people want from you, as opposed to taking time to reflect about yourself, which is really important to, again, create that balance so that you'll have the insights that feed your ability to show up not only for yourself and other people in more powerful ways. And you can do that through your business. You can do that through your relationships. But once you have that self-awareness that is gleaned from that quiet away time, it's almost like with was talked about a minute from Mars and winter from Venus. It's going to your cave and just having some alone time that allows you to have the reflectivity that will enable you to have greater connectivity.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm fascinated by that process, and I wonder whether there's, you know, people probably need help with that process, and I wonder whether there's a way to provide a service or a retreat. And I know you've been talking about retreats, but where people can connect with their uniqueness.
For that too. So, you know, I don't want to come across like I'm all things to all people.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the areas that I've thought a lot about, and even the abstractions, and how do you systematize these things to provide the greater clarity. And I do, again, touch on some of those things in the video you referenced at the very beginning of our conversation.
All right. So finally, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
Sure. You know, everyone wants to stand out and stand apart, but I think it's integrating and understanding that you have to integrate all of these facets to show up in that way. To be a great leader means, in my opinion, that you have to be someone who's of great service, and people who want to follow you rather than be led by you or be dictated to. And so I never try to impose any of my beliefs on anybody. I just try to bring out the best in other people. And by doing that, it becomes attraction marketing. I frankly find that the way that I have become known as a leader or a super connector, and people want to find me, is because I'm here, I'm authentic, and I want to honestly help people. And I'm right now, actually, to tell you the truth, Jordan, I'm drowning in connectivity. I mean, I can't tell you how many texts I get per hour and hundreds of emails a day. And I'm actually looking to put in more staff support, but I don't want to do it at the expense of people being able to personally connect with me, because, you know, that's part of the human experience. So that's the challenge for me. But I would just say that basically you want to be able to integrate all of these different, let's call them subsystems, to interoperate with efficiency that make you stand out, because it's very rare that people are able to master these different areas of their life. But when you do, either subliminally or overtly, it sends a signal to others that you are in control and in charge of your own life. And if you're doing it successfully, you're probably a success-oriented person they can learn from and can follow. And that shows up as natural leadership qualities that then they will be inspired to want to gravitate around you for demonstrating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice, as all of your advice has been today. So thanks very much for your time and spending time with me, and for joining me on episode 200 of the Innova Buzz podcast. Neil, this
has been an absolute pleasure and delight. Yeah. I hope I can come back again if there are other facets or things you'd like to discuss. And I also hope I can make some referrals your way, because you've been very kind and gracious to me today.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have you back, because there are a number of things we touched on that I think could be the topic of their own podcast. So we'll look at incorporating those in the future. Now, You did share the link earlier, worldclassconnector.net, that where people can
actually learn. It's worldclassconnections.com.
Oh, okay. All right.
That is an older link, but that's okay. The one area that people can most easily find me is worldclassconnections.com.
Right.
I look forward to, you know, seeing how I can be of service. And would love to be of further service to you, Jürgen. Thank you so much for having me on here.
So we'll put links to those in the show notes, and people can click on them and connect with you and learn about the 30-minute call that you're offering people to kind of help them become more clear and identify what they might need to move forward. Now, one final question before you leave. Before we wrap up, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, and why?
Well, I have several people in mind. One comes to mind is very interesting. He happens to be a client. He's a startup. He didn't have a lot of capital. I normally resist taking people on because, you know, I do, people have to afford my services. He made me a very interesting offer. But he's a very innovative young man, and he's on the rise. He created a device that can basically help people, elderly people, get in and out of bed more efficiently. His grandfather fell out of bed, was lying on the floor. He said, if he's doing it, it must be happening to others. And in fact, 3 million elderly people have fall injuries from just trying to get in and out of bed at night, wind up in the hospital, spend $35,000, drain their family's resources. So he came up with a device that's very clever, very simple. It also has a light, night light on it. Automatically illuminates when there's motion, they get in and out of bed. And I'd love to introduce you to him because he can tell the story of his journey. He basically had has now not only been selling online, was just approached by Walmart, being in business less than a year. And I've since helped him expand his whole business idea of line extensions and other things and helping seniors. And so I think he's on a really great track, and he can tell his story of his journey, and it'd be probably of interest to your listeners.
Okay. Well, we'll get in touch. So that's the step to bed that you told me about previously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's certainly other people who are innovating in amazing areas. So I'd be very happy to share that with you.
Okay, great. Well, we'll reach out and get some more contacts from you later on. So thanks again so much, Neil. It's been a blast today, as I said, and I'm grateful for you sharing your time and your insights with us all on the InnovaBuzz podcast, and particularly to celebrate episode 200 with us. I've really enjoyed this, and I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch. I know we definitely will, so let's do that.
I'd be absolutely delighted. Again, thank you so much for this opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed that delightfully insightful and engaging conversation with Neil and took something with you from what he shared today. There were so many stories and metaphors in this interview, and one I really liked was that the hardest part of a rocket's journey is at liftoff. So getting started. Of course, as a systems geek, I was fascinated how Neil approached everything as a system, basically a strategy we run to do things. I'd love to know what you took away from Neil's interview. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Neil Sperling. That is Neil, N-E-A-L, S-P-E-R-L-I-N-G. So Neil with N-E-A-L. And then Sperling, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Neil Sperling. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Neil there, as well as links to the Vancouver talk that I mentioned earlier, his interview with Nick Coe, ways to connect with him and take up his very generous offer of a free 30-minute clarity consultation, and the other resources that we spoke about in the conversation today. Nick suggested we interview Vince Baera of Step to Bed on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Vince, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Neil Sperling. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show. It's at talesofmarketingtransformation.com. No surprises there. Each episode of Tales of Marketing Transformation will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And, of course, tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where I'll share my reflections about producing 200 episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast and, of course, be joined by more fantastic guests, including Facebook and Instagram ads strategist Monica Louie. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.